Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. And inshallah azza wa jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the parables of repentance. Inshallah, before we dive deep into our today's discussion, let's first and foremost recite Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Salu ala Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers, it is stated on page 363 of the book Hikayatein aur Nasihatein, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing wing of Dawat-e-Islami. Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahimahullah, he stepped onto the pulpit to deliver a speech to the people. His speech brought about intense fear of the divine punishment. He scolded them for committing sins. Shaken up, the people left in a very worried state. A sinful young man was also present in that gathering and was deeply troubled due to his sins and contemplating about his death and being lowered into the grave. Upon returning, it seemed that his heart was greatly influenced by that powerful speech. He now had deep remorse for his sins and sincerely repented. He presented himself before his mother and requested, "My dear mother, you wanted me to abandon disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal and wicked fun and pleasure. I gave it all up from today." And he added that, "I attended the blessed congregation of Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahimahullah ta'ala and I regret sinning." His mother said, "My dear son, all praises are due to Allah Azza wa Jal, who has made you return gracefully towards righteousness and pulled you away from sins. And I have a firm conviction that due to my crying in your favor, certainly Allah Azza wa Jal will have mercy and favor you by accepting you." She then asked, "Dear son, what was your condition whilst listening to the thought-provoking speech?" In response, he recited some verses of poetry, which means that, "I have begged for repentance and I have become obedient. Scolding myself, my heart was unlocked when the addresser drew the attention of my heart towards the divine obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal." The boy then said to his mother that, "Will my Lord Azza wa Jal accept me despite my sinful life? Alas, if my Lord Azza wa Jal makes me return with failure and frustration, or does not allow me to be present in his court, then I will be destroyed." That young man, he started observing fasts during the day and would stay awake engaging in ibadah during the nights. He started invoking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became weak and frail over time. His bones had dried and his color went pale. His mother once brought a bowl of sattu, which is a blend of cereal powder and flour mixed with water, and said to him, "I make you swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, drink this. Your body has gone through a great struggle." Obeying his mother, when he took the bowl in his hand, he started crying anxiously and began to remember the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, translation from Kanzul Iman. "He will sip it with difficulty but be unable to swallow." He then broke down in sobs and fell to the ground. He passed away on the spot. Dear brothers, a young man preoccupied in committing sins attended a congregation and listened to a thought-provoking bayan which had brought such a madani revolution in his heart that he engaged in worshipping and devotion all night long. He would observe fast in the day, and even after seeking true repentance, he would always feel regret over his past sins due to the fear of Allah. He departed from this world in the same condition. Through this parable, we have learned that attending a blessed gathering is a great privilege, bringing abundant rewards, where different people are privileged to seek forgiveness. We should also attend the Sunnah-inspiring weekly Ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami, as well as collectively participating in the weekly Madani Mudhakara, the question and answer session. Alhamdulillah, these blessed gatherings contain the Madani bouquet of the recitation of the glorious Quran, recitation of Naat poetry that specifically praises the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Sunnah inspiring bayan, a speech, a deep emotional and touching dua supplication, salawat and salam, and Madani pearls of Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatumul Aliya, which are full of wisdom and inspiration. These blessed congregations are not only the source of acquiring al-Madin, but they also enable us to learn the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, along with earning virtues, seeking forgiveness for sins, and acting upon Sunnah. Dear brothers, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal are countless and infinite. He Azza wa Jal forgives all the wrongdoings of His bondmen. Therefore, we should also refrain from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remain firm on constant and sincere repentance. Remember, sincere repentance is only achieved if we act upon three conditions. What are those three conditions of sincere repentance? Number one, feeling regret over past sins. Secondly, abandoning sins. And thirdly, making a firm resolution not to commit sins again. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, he has stated that true repentance means immediately abandoning the sin, having deep regret and remorse for having done the sin, and acknowledging that the sin is disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to make a firm resolution not to commit it again and carry out possible recompense for it. So keeping in view the conditions of repentance, we should never stop repenting. If any sin is committed, with humility and humbleness, immediately seek forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. If it is committed again, then seek forgiveness again. If again it is committed, then again seek forgiveness, keeping in mind the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal each time. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will develop a mindset of refraining from sins. Sayyidina Rabi'a bin Usman Taymi rahimahullah, he has related that there was a very great sinner whose days and nights passed by in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was drowned in the oceans of sins, but Allah Azza wa Jal intended good for him and made him realize his wrongdoings. When Allah Azza wa Jal intends good for any of his servants, he blesses him with the privilege of regret and repentance. Allah Azza wa Jal granted mercy to this person. He was then deeply ashamed of his sins, the curtains of negligence lifted from his eyes. He pondered over his many sins and decided that now he should seek repentance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hence, he said to his wife, "I am repenting from all my past sins and I seek forgiveness in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And He Azza wa Jal is the most merciful and most gracious. He Azza wa Jal will certainly forgive me. I am now going in search of such a person who is able to intercede on my behalf in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal." Saying that, he set out towards the desert. upon reaching a deserted place, he called out loudly, O earth, you be my intercessor in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. O sky, you be my intercessor in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. O innocent angels of Allah Azza wa Jal, at least you must intercede for me. He continued crying and saying to everything to intercede for him. Finally, due to excessive crying, he fell unconscious, stumbled and fell to the ground. His method of repentance over his sins was accepted graciously, and an angel was sent towards him who picked him up, dusted his head, then said, O bondman of Allah, I have glad tidings for you. Your repentance has been accepted in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Upon this, he became overjoyed and said, May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon you. Who would intercede for me in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal? Who will be my intercessor there? The angel replied, Your fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is such a blessed act which itself will be your intercessor. And this admired method of repentance of yours will also intercede for you in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thousands of praises for this young man that he was completely overpowered by the fear of being ashamed in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And due to all of his sins, then he sought true repentance and went in search of an intercessor to intercede for him in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Though one of the angels, Allah Azza wa Jal, had sent him the glad tiding of acceptance of his repentance through this angel, surely those fortunate ones who truly attain the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remain in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private, in every condition and state, and they try to refrain from committing sins. Dear Islamic brothers, indeed, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal plays an important part in the salvation of our hereafter, because the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is a great source of motivation to perform worships and to refrain from forbidden acts. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has stated, Ra'sul hikmati makhafatullah. The fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is the source of wisdom. Therefore, it is sheer foolishness to fall prey to negligence by indulging in worldly pleasures and pursuits. Remember, our salvation lies in acting upon the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should accumulate virtues and refrain from committing sins. The fear of Allah azza wa jal is the most crucial part for a Muslim in order to achieve this great aim, as it is stated in the sacred Quran. Translation from Kanzul Iman: And fear me if you have faith. Commenting on this verse, Sayyid Allama Maulana Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that Iman and faith implies that the bondman should have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that Allah Azza wa Jal would say, Take those out of the fire who would have ever remembered me or were absorbed by my fear at any place. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, The one who fears Allah Azza wa Jal, everything fears him. And one who fears anything other than Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal makes him afraid of everything. Subhanallah. How true is this? The fear of Allah Azza wa Jal includes fear of hidden plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of His autonomy, fear of His displeasure, fear of His severity, fear of His punishments, the fear of His divine wrath, as well as the fear of losing faith, iman. All these facets are part of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. For detailed information about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the highest level of fear, the lower level of fear, and the minimum fear one should have, the result of fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, the blessings of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, virtues of crying with the fear of Allah, methods of acquiring the fear of Allah azza wa jal, that the blessed prophets alayhim as-salam and Sayyidul Anbiya, the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had possessed. Allahu Akbar. The noble prophets alayhim as-salam, they had so much of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah azza wa jal, that the blessed angels had. Allahu Akbar. The fear of Allah azza wa jal of the blessed Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The fear of Allah azza wa jal of the pious saints rahimahumullah ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and Sayyidina Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and many, many other blessed saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya Allah, who truly teach us how to fear Allah azza wa jal, and along with some verses on how to increase the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to know all of these beautiful aspects related to the fear of Allah azza wa jal, look no further than Ihya Ulumuddin, the masterpiece of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, where he has dedicated an entire chapter related to the fear of Allah azza wa jal. And subhanAllah, not only that, there are 39 other chapters which are all wonderful, that we should read and inshallah azza wa jal get enlightened and spiritually uplifted. To just read or listen to the reality of the grave, the hereafter, the day of judgment, then being afraid and shedding some tears are not sufficient. Along with that, carrying out practical requirements, abandoning the sins and obeying Allah azza wa jal are extremely important acts for seeking success in the hereafter. Those who refrain from committing sins due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal forgives them and makes them his beloved and favorite bondmen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar of Islam. He was, once upon a time, he was just an ordinary person. He fell in love with a slave girl. He was so infatuated by her that once he waited outside her house in the extreme cold just to have a look at her. He stood all night long till dawn. He later came to his senses and regretted having wasted the entire night for a slave girl and gained nothing. If only this night would be spent in praying and worshipping. This thought had brought about an overwhelming transformation in his heart, and a mothering revolution took place within him. And subhanallah, he rahimahullah made sincere repentance. He rid himself of the mundane love of this infatuation that he had for this girl and attained high status of a wilaya, sainthood, in a very short period of time. Allah azza wa jal elevated his majesty and dignity to such an extent that once his mother actually approached an orchard in search of him. She saw him sleeping and a snake was driving the flies away from his blessed body. Subhanallah. May Allah azza wa jal have mercy upon him and forgive us for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil amin. Dear brothers, the intense fire of love smoldering in the heart of a young man, and how Allah azza wa jal showered his mercy upon him. He sought true repentance, absorbed himself. He was engrossed in the divine love after that and attained the station of wilaya and sainthood. Mundane and artificial love is such a strange thing that the one who gets caught up in it just once, his escape from it is very difficult. These days, there is a rapid growth and it is trending of about mundane love infatuation. The main cause of it is that most Muslims do not have essential Islamic knowledge and are drifting away from a religious environment. This has also caused a flood of sins everywhere. Watching love stories and dramas on TV and on the internet, reading novels, monthly magazines, scrolling indecent blogs, digest romantic fictions and exaggerated news articles that are not suited for one's consumption, that are published in newspapers and magazines, attending co-educational classes at colleges and universities, and freely mixing Meeting and talking to non-mahram relatives are causes of mundane love amongst the youth of today. It is actually being promoted. It's everywhere. At first, the love or the infatuation rather is from one side. And when the other person is informed about it, sometimes they also fall in love, leading to a severe storm of sins. These lovers then engage in shameless conversations over the phone, even meeting each other, exchanging love letters and gifts, and secretly promising to marry each other in their family members. Allahu Akbar. If their family members stop them or cause any hurdle in their way, they sometimes elope, and the news of them running away together is published in the newspapers everywhere, causing disgrace to their families. Later on, they get married in some court. Furthermore, if they are unable to elope, they commit suicide. These types of news are often published in newspapers. Sometimes the prestige and honor of a family is ruined when this artificial and mundane love appears in the form of a court marriage, or sometimes if the so-called lovers have failed to run away in their pursuit, they commit suicide as a last resort. This news is commonly found everywhere around us. Dear brothers, the sunnah of nikah, what's the solution to all of this? The sunnah of nikah. The sunnah of nikah is the best source of warding off artificial love. One who loves the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will follow his sunnah. And nikah is the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are five beautiful ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the sunnah of marrying someone. He says in one hadith that one who loves my way should act upon my sunnah, and nikah, marriage, is from my sunnah. In the second hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a woman is married for four things. Firstly, one can maybe get interested to her and marry her for her wealth. Secondly, family status. Thirdly, beauty. And fourthly, her faith and deen. So you should prefer the one who has Islamic faith, subhanallah. So the deen, it is the strongest criterion as it is described by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam over and above the other three. When one amongst you, he says, that one, when one amongst you enters into nikah, marriage, upon that Satan moans, he cries and has deep regret that the son of Adam has protected 2/3 of his faith from me. Allahu Akbar. In the fourth hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, the one who possesses enough wealth to make nikah, to get married, but does not do so, is not amongst us. And now the last hadith, in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses the youth, and he says, O youth, whoever amongst you can marry should marry, because it helps him lower his gaze and guard his modesty against a strange woman. And whoever is not able to marry should observe fast, as fasting diminishes his sexual urges. Now, Sayyidina Salih Murri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that a girl who used to play sitar, a musical instrument that is tethered with cords, with the metal cords. So this girl who used to play the sitar, she went past a qari, a reciter of the blessed Quran, who was reciting this verse of the glorious Quran. And indeed, hell surrounds the disbelievers. Having listened to this blessed verse, she threw the sitar, the musical instrument, screamed loudly, fell unconscious and collapsed to the ground. Upon regaining her senses, she broke the musical instrument and deeply engaged herself in worshipping and devotion to such an extent that she became popular as a girl who was pious and ascetic. I once said to her, be gentle on yourself. Listening to this, she cried and replied, if I come to know how the dwellers of hell would come out of their graves, how will they cross the bridge of Sirat? How will they attain safety from the horrors of the hereafter? How will they drink the boiling water? How will they be able to bear the divine wrath? Saying this, she fell unconscious again and collapsed to the ground. Upon regaining her senses, she prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal, "O Allah, I disobeyed you in my youth, and now obeying your commands in this state of weakness, will you accept my worship?" She then took a deep sigh and said, "Alas, the faults of many people will be exposed on the day of judgment." She then gave a piercing scream and burst into tears. Her deep lamentation and cry overpowered all the people who were present there to such an extent that they all fell unconscious. Allahu Akbar. This girl who made such a sincere tawbah, repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she would pass out crying, and she would cry with so much of sincerity, and her taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so overpowering that because of her crying, people also, they cried in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they passed out. Allah, Allah, Allah. Now, she was overwhelmed by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she repented for her sins and engaged herself in worshipping and devotion of Allah azza wa jalla. And it is so unfortunate that songs and instruments of music and amusements have left the majority of Muslims headless and totally out of concern. They don't care whether they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the zikr, they make zikr every day or not. But music, yes, they will play every day. Amusements, yes, they will entertain themselves every day. But whether or not they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, they make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, that they are heedless of and that they are negligent of. Music has seeped into the veins of so many Muslims today. It has dominated everything, whether it is a car or aeroplane, truck or bus, taxi or bike, wherever you see, there is music blasting everywhere. And music, in reality, it is an invention of shaitan. Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajweri Rahimahullah, he has narrated in this connection that Allah Azza wa Jal had granted Sayyidina Dawood ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam a very beautiful and melodious voice. Even the mountains would sway when hearing his perfect voice. Birds would fall to the ground as they flew above the skies. Animals and beasts would hear his voice and came out of the jungles. Trees would begin to sway from side to side, and flowing rivers would come to a standstill. Wild animals of the jungle would stop eating and drinking for up to a month. Small children would stop crying and asking for milk. And sometimes people would die due to the intense feeling of passion that his voice transferred into their hearts and minds. Allahu Akbar. Once 100 women died just by hearing his melodious voice. This method of preaching worried Satan immensely. So he invented the flute and tambura. This is a musical instrument that has a string. And he began to play them day in, day out. People divided into then two groups. Those who were fortunate continued listening to the melodious voice of Sayyidina Dawood ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. But those who had gone astray were inclined towards the satanic musical instruments and satanic songs. Music is definitely an invention of shaitan. This fact is also supported by the narration mentioned in Tafsirati Ahmadiyya, which further strengthens this standpoint. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has stated that it was Satan who mourned and sang a song before everyone else. We come to know from these narrations that Satan is the inventor of music and songs, and listening to music and songs is as good as following into his footsteps and falling into his trap. Let's inshallah azza wa jalla listen to some narrations in connection with the condemnation of music and songs. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that two voices are despised in the world and the hereafter. One is music at the time of bounty at the time of ni'mah, and the second is screaming at the time of trouble. Another narration says, Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Ash-Shafi rahimahullah says, keep away from music because it incites the feelings of lust, destroys shame, and it intoxicates like wine. Third narration where it's mentioned, if anyone sits near a singer and listens to her carefully, Allah Azza wa Jal will pour molten lead into his ears on the day of resurrection. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that song and lahu, meaning anything that makes you neglectful of the virtuous actions, so that is called lahu. So songs and lahu grow hypocrisy in the heart as water grows greenery. I sway by the one in whose supremacy is my life. Indeed, the Quran and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal make faith grow in the heart as water grows grass. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq and bestow upon us the divinely bestowed ability to refrain from all the sins and to also seek repentance for all our misdeeds. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we are going to listen to inshallah azawajal a beautiful kalam, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion, that is regarding those parables in which repentance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya ayyuhan nabiy inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira. اے نبی, بے شک ہم نے تمہیں گواہ اور خوشخبری دینے والا اور ڈر سنانے والا اور اللہ کی طرف اس کے حکم سے بلانے والا اور چمکا دینے والا آفتاب بنا کر بھیجا, آفتاب بنا کر بھیجا. اے ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا, اے ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا. سلطان جہاں محبوب خدا, سلطان جہاں محبوب خدا, تیری شان و شوکت کیا کہنا, یہ شان و شوکت کیا کہنا. ہر شے پہ لکھا ہے نام تیرا, ہر شے پہ لکھا ہے نام تیرا, تیرے ذکر کی رفعت کیا کہنا, یہ ذکر کی رفعت کیا کہنا. اے ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے. سر پہ تاج نبوت کا جوڑا ہے, تن پہ کرامت کا ہے, سر پہ تاج نبوت کا جوڑا ہے, تن پہ کرامت کا, سہرا ہے جبی پہ شفاعت کا, سہرا ہے جبی پہ شفاعت کا, امت پہ ہے رحمت کیا کہنا, امت پہ ہے رحمت کیا کہنا. اے ختم رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا.
انا اعطینا کل کوثر فرمائے تیرے حق میں داور, انا اعطینا کل کوثر فرمائے تیرے حق میں داور, وحدت کا کیا تجھ کو مظہر, وحدت کا کیا تجھ کو مظہر, اور بھی ہے کثرت کیا کہنا, اور دی ہے کثرت کیا کہنا.
اے خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا.
معراج ہوئی تا عرش گئے, حق تم سے ملا تم حق سے ملے. معراج ہوئی تا عرش گئے, حق تم سے ملا تم حق سے ملے. سب راز فاوحا دل پہ کھلے, سب راز فاوحا دل پہ کھلے. یہ عزت و حشمت کیا کہنا, یہ عزت و حشمت کیا کہنا.
اے خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا.
حوروں نے کہا سبحان اللہ, غلمان نے پکارا صلی علی, حوروں نے کہا سبحان اللہ, غلمان نے پکارا صلی اللہ, اور قدسی بولے عرش پہ دعوت کیا کہنا ہے, عرش پہ دعوت کیا کہنا
ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا.
قرآن کلام باری ہے اور تیری زبان سے جاری ہے, قرآن کلام باری ہے اور تیری زبان سے جاری ہے, کیا تیری فصاحت پیاری ہے, کیا تیری فصاحت پیاری ہے, اور تیری بلاغت کیا کہنا, اور تیری بلاغت کیا کہنا.
اے خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا ہے, خط میں رسول تیرا کیا کہنا.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. And now coming back to our today's discussion, and that is regarding the parables of repentance, those parables that are about repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the sincerity of the heart, and tawbat al-nasuha, the sincere tawbah. And for that one has to firstly abandon the sins, then show remorse for having committed the sin and make firm intention not to commit that sin ever again. By listening to these narrations about the condemnation of songs and music, we come to know that listening to music and songs, it is haram act leading to hell. And our modern thinkers and intellectuals and lovers of music have termed this as fun and pleasure. And they even go as far as to say it is food for the soul, whereas this horrible thing is a cause of heedlessness and prevents one from remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not a food for the soul at all. Rather, it destroys the soul and the spirituality. The dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is a food for the soul, as it is stated in the blessed Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman. Pay heed only in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is satisfaction to hearts. Salah is a food for the soul. And this too is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, as it is stated in the blessed Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman. And keep the prayer established for my remembrance. Music and songs are not food for the soul. Rather, they ruin and destroy one's spirituality. It kills the pleasure of salah and acts of worship. And it destroys modesty and chastity. And it encourages the Muslims to unveil themselves, especially women. Indeed, calling it as food for the soul is a satanic trap. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the destruction of music and songs and privilege us to make the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, reciting the blessed Quran and reciting the naat of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin nabiyyin ameen. Sayyidina Ibrahim Ajuri Kabir rahimahullah, he says that it was winter and I was sitting at the entrance of the masjid. Someone passed by me who was wearing two rags. I thought to myself, he may be a beggar and that it would be better if he could earn his with his own hands. When I fell asleep, I saw two angels descending. They grabbed me by the arm and took me to the same masjid. There was someone sleeping and he had covered himself with two rags. When one of the blankets were taken off, I was surprised to see that he was the same person who had passed by me. The angels then asked me, "Eat his flesh." I said, "I did not commit backbiting against him." They replied, "You did. You thought ill of him in your heart and felt that he was lower in rank than you and you were unhappy with him." He says, "I then awoke and I was trembling out of fear. I stayed at the entrance of the same masjid for 30 consecutive days. I would only get up for Fard Salah and kept praying to see the same person so I could ask him to forgive me." Allahu Akbar. 1 month later, he says that I saw the mysterious person wearing two rags of sheet. And I immediately rushed to catch up with him. He started walking fast after he saw me following him. I then loudly called out to him that, "O servant of Allah, I want to talk to you." He replied, "O Ibrahim, are you one of those who backbite in their hearts against true believers?" I fainted after hearing him reveal the unseen about me. When I got back up, I saw the person standing by me. He asked, "Would you do it again?" I replied, "No, I will never do it again." Then that mysterious person disappeared from my view and I never saw him again. Allah subhanallah. This should be our case. This should be the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. That if we have committed a wrong, then no matter what it takes, set your course straight. We have gathered numerous Madani pearls and warning through this parable alone. One thing that we can learn from it is that having an evil suspicion about someone is also considered as backbiting. To think badly without any justification of someone is known as evil suspicion. which is backbiting by the heart. By looking at someone's simple clothing and thinking of him as a beggar or a person with a low rank is not a good thing. Who knows? Perhaps the one whom we are thinking low of is very high ranking, like the one mentioned in this parable, who was not a beggar, but he was indeed a saint. Dear brothers, the awliya Allah are the spiritual rulers who, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, are aware of the unseen and hidden matters. It is not essential that every saint is famous. These people are found in virtually every class of society. Sometimes a saint is in the guise of a laborer, sometimes as a vegetable or fruit seller. Sometimes he could be a trader or an employee. And sometimes highly eminent saints are in the guise of watchmen and instructors. Not everyone can recognize the jewel in rags, meaning the great mystic. These awliya Allah, they hid themselves. Therefore, we should not look down upon any Muslim. And this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealing His awliya among common people. So we should respect and not judge anyone. An arrogant person tends to ridicule those whom he considers inferior to himself. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the glorious Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 11, translation from Kanzul Iman. O believers, men must not ridicule other men. Perhaps the ridiculed ones are better than the mockers. Nor must women ridicule other women. Perhaps the ridiculed women are better than the mockers. Shaykh Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, while elaborating on this verse, he said that sukhriya in this verse refers to one who is mocked and is looked down upon with hate, with contempt. This order of Allah Azza wa Jal signifies that we should not look down upon anyone with contempt and disrespect. It is possible that the one whom we look down upon actually has a better and higher status in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that there are several people who are in dejected state. Their hair is scattered and their clothes are worn out. No one cares about them. But if they were to swear by Allah Azza wa Jal's name on any matter, Allah Azza wa Jal would fulfill their words. Subhanallah. We should also show utmost respect and reverence to the righteous people, especially the virtuous and pious mystics and saints, rahimahumullah. And we should never look down upon them, because those whom we are considering inferior or less important, they have the highest spiritual status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, higher than what we can fathom and think. These are the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having listened to these parables of repentance, we should develop the mindset of seeking Allah's forgiveness. Firstly, we should refrain from sins, but if any sin is committed intentionally or unintentionally, we should not delay in repentance. Rather, we should seek forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal with deep humility, and as Allah Azza wa Jal loves those who seek forgiveness, and He Azza wa Jal accepts their repentance. It is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that if you continue sinning until your sins reach the sky, then you repent, your repentance would be accepted. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear brothers, we have alhamdulillah a madani pearl as well. Let's go and listen to it, and thereafter we shall continue towards the conclusion of our today's discussion. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Sayyiduna Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was a very famous friend of Allah. He was a very famous wali, a saint of Allah Azza wa Jal. And once he gave some advice to a young man. What was the advice? Let's listen to that advice. O young man, you must not be deceived by your youth. Many young people indulged in long hopes forget their death and delayed and ignored repentance, saying that I will repent tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. At last, they were buried in their graves and were not benefited by their wealth, slaves, parents and offspring. So dear viewers, especially those who are of young age, you still have the opportunity, you still have the time, you are still breathing and you still have the opportunity to repent within the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do not delay this. If Allah Azza wa Jal has given you the ability to do repentance, then do not delay in this, because remember, death is just around the corner. Any minute we could die. We do not know how long we have left. So if you are saying these words that I will repent tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or in a week's time, you do not know if you will still be alive, and you may die without doing tawbah, without doing repentance within the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So do not be heedless, dear viewers, and repent in the court of the most forgiving, the most merciful, Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back, dear brothers. And now we are moving towards our conclusion, and alhamdulillah, we have listened to the parables of repentance, and we were privileged to listen to some Madani pearls in this connection as well. Being human, if any of us do commit a sin, we should immediately seek true forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal. Our fear of Allah azza wa jal and our repentance in the court of Allah azza wa jal will intercede for us on the day of judgment. Remember that repentance does not mean to just temporarily feel remorse over sins and then resume committing sins thereafter. Rather, true repentance is to make a firm resolve not to commit that sin ever again. Allah Azza wa Jal loves those who repent in his path and in this way, and forgives all of their sins. May Allah Azza wa Jal pardon our sins. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables.